I really believe that there's going to come an anointing to heal people this morning, not physically, but emotionally. And so I really encourage you to not be distracted this morning, to really, really focus on what God wants to say, because I really believe that's why the anointing came in so strong on that last song, as he was showing me, I want to set people free this morning. This morning. They don't have to go through 14 tape series. They can get free this morning. So we've been talking about meekness, and I'll just say a little bit to catch some of you up a little bit, and then I'm just going to read what he gave me this morning. Meekness is a fruit of letting God fight your battles. Meekness is the fruit of trusting him, even when it looks weak to the world, even when it looks like you're losing. And the opposite of meekness is whatever you took on to handle your vulnerability. Whatever you took on to make sure you were not wounded ever again, to make sure that nobody would hurt you again, to make sure, and so for some people that's, I'm going to hurt you first. For some people that's like, I'm just going to get behind a wall and hide. For some people that's, you're going to wish you never did that to me. For other people, it's going to be man-pleasing. I'll just do everything they want, and then they won't yell at me or they won't put me down. And there's all these different things people have taken on. Some of us have taken on more than one, depending on the relationship. And when the Bible says that Jesus is meek, and the Bible says, be holy for he is holy. So to be holy is to be the absence of evil. That's what holy is. Holy is the absence of evil. The Holy Spirit has come into our, he's called Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come into our lives when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord. And he begins the process of making us holy through the work of sanctification, which is him getting rid of what doesn't belong in there. So we can no longer identify. See, an inner vow identifies with what doesn't belong there. It's kind of like this. We are created in such a way that we can invite the Holy Spirit in and yield to him, or we can invite demons in and yield to them, not even knowing that's what we're doing. The Bible says man was created as a slave, really. We were created to completely yield and serve God, and that's where we would be completely at peace and joy and happiness, or we were created where the enemy would take the place of God. And there's no exceptions to that. There are no exceptions to that. You're either serving God or serving the enemy. And when we think of serving God, we think of full-time ministry calls. That's not what it's about. Serving God means this part of my life, God is in charge of. This part of my life, God is in charge of. This part of my life, God is in charge of. Either God is in charge of your marriage or the devil is. Either God is in charge of your parenting or the devil is. Either God is in charge of your job or the devil is. Either God is in charge of your relationships or the devil is. Either God is in charge of how you handle things or the devil is. Either God is in charge of your entertainment or the devil is. Either God is in charge or the devil is. There is no in between. None. And this work of being perfected is this work of the Holy Spirit developing in us a trust for God and getting rid of the lies about God as we study his word and as people get free enough to preach enough freedom to help other people get free so that we can trust God, because we're not going to turn over our life to someone we don't trust. Not purposely. Now here's the thing with God. He only takes charge when he is invited to take charge. Satan takes charge every time God is not invited to take charge. So every time you don't purposely invite God in, you have invited the enemy in. And that's why people's lives, even in the church, are so messed up. You can tell how much you've invited God in by how much your life looks like the life of a person who doesn't know him. If your life looks like the life of a person who doesn't know God, it's because you haven't yielded or invited God in to most areas of your life. It's just that simple. It's not about whole. There are just as many people preaching this morning who have just as many yielded areas to the devil as there are people watching them preach this morning. It's not about a title or a name or going through a school. It's about trusting God and yielding to him, trusting God and yielding to him, trusting God and yielding to him. And bad doctrine and people not yielded to God but preaching God have hurt people. They don't mean to, but you can only preach from where you're coming from. You can only release the amount of faith that you walk in. And so God is perfecting his church. He's maturing people. And all the trials and things that we're in are really released. The Lord allows those things so that we can wake up and find out where we really walk with God. How meek are we? Now, meek, every place that you took in something to handle being attacked or the fear of being attacked or having to be perfect or anything that's coming after you being vulnerable, however you handle that outside of going to God for wisdom has affected you. So we're not to judge one another because somebody maybe was attacked a lot more than I was. There are people who've been attacked so fiercely that God is just asking us to get compassion and quit judging them and help them get free. The Bible never says to speak to someone the truth unless you can do it in love. And the Bible promises if you do it in love, it doesn't fail. God doesn't ask you to correct your kids in anger and fear and doubt or trying to make them, you know, you can't stop your children from being vulnerable. Okay? Do you get that now? You cannot help someone else not be vulnerable. You're not in charge of being the attack dog for them. Touch my kid. And you wonder why your kid doesn't even respect you and you're the one who protected them all these years. No, you did not help them learn to go to God and get wisdom. And you got codependent and all this mess. So when I was worshiping this morning and seeking the Lord this morning, because I really believe this meekness thing we've kind of stumbled on in the last week or two is really powerful. And sometimes God gives me something really powerful that can change lives if we really let it change our lives. It's changing my life. So whenever it changes my life, I know it can change your life. Because my way of handling being vulnerable was to be mean. That was my way of handling it. Always. I was never quiet. I was never hiding. Well, maybe not never. There's a few places. But overall, my way was, I will get you so fast with my words, which I now know were not my words. The same sword of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, and the gifting God's given me to use that, Satan took advantage of. And then you just repent, all right? Get over. Some of you just want to stay around in how bad you are forever. Wow, I'm so bad. Even the things you thought you were doing right, when you find out you were doing them wrong, instead of just repenting and getting on with it, you sit there in a martyr kind of poor me atmosphere forever that doesn't help anybody or anything, and it takes away from what Christ has done. Do you know the way to really get free is get it, repent of it, mean it, let God take it out and go on with life. And then forgetting those things that are past. And when somebody tries to bring them up to you, if they've already been forgotten by you, you can just look at them like, I don't know what you're talking about, but you're going to have to go blame somebody else because I'm not taking it anymore. I've been forgiven by God, and I've asked you to forgive me, and if that's not enough for you, it's between you and God. Now, you may have to go ask some people to forgive you. That's called humbling yourself. And sometimes you're going to have to receive forgiveness from people. Sometimes you're going to have to let them come and say they're sorry without you interrupting and bursting through that they don't need to. If they wouldn't be saying it if they didn't need to, because only God would have them come say it. So God is just changing all of this. Thank God. There's an anointing here this morning for people to get this. There's an anointing here this morning for people to give it up once and for all what Satan has put in them to handle woundedness. Some people are so afraid of that because that's what you think has helped you, but it hasn't helped you. It's hurt relationships. It's hurt job opportunities. It's hurt your children's relationship with you. It's hurt your relationship between you and your spouse. It's hurt relationships in the business place. It's hurt everything. Satan does nothing that's helpful. And I would say, even if Satan did something that's helpful, do you want it coming from him? No, I don't. I don't care. I don't want anything from him. I don't need anything from him. I've got a real awesome holy God who loves me so much. And I was reading this because a lot of what attacks us is usually words. There are people who've been hit. There are people who've been sexually abused. I mean, the enemy has attacked the vulnerability of people. But what seems to sting the most are those things that are said to us and those things that are directed at us. And so I just felt led to read Jesus, the most meek, and watch how he handled this and ask the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit upon my heart, that as I'm reading this, that you will let God show you what you've taken on when you were hurt. And you will realize Jesus went through more than you did, more than likely. I know he did if you take it all together, but just even reading it at face value, you're going to see, wow, he really went through it. And I want you to be sensitive to how would you respond. And be real about it. How would you respond? Because if you're not real about it, you can't get free today. But if you hear what happened to him and your response would be, I would have ran and hid, or I would have pulled out a gun, or I would have hit him in the head, or I would have done, then recognize you got a devil that you took on that's blocking meekness. And they say, well, I know I've been too afraid to do anything. I've been too afraid to do anything. That's still a spirit that's not of God. Jesus wasn't afraid. When I read this, don't think he was afraid. Remember, he settled it at Gethsemane. He settled it before they got him. Before he was arrested, he went and three times he said, Father, I really don't like this one. I want you to understand this about God, and I've got to re-preach stuff a lot of you know because there's new people. There's people watching on the internet, and it doesn't hurt to hear truth over and over because you sure heard lies long enough. But I want you to understand this about Jesus. Jesus is God, settled, forever God. He's God. He's not a man just as a man. Here's how it works. I believe this with all my heart. Jesus, God, came into the world through the body of a baby, through the body. He was Jesus, but he came in through the womb, and God himself, the personality of God, the anointing of God, everything that God is, came forth in skin. And boom, there's a baby in skin. And it's God in a baby form. And when his brain caught up to who he was already preaching and teaching the best teachers. Because he always was the same. But it took a while for his natural body to catch up to that, okay? So he grew with it. So here we have God himself, okay? Get this, you guys, the creator. We have the one who can have angels everywhere in a split second. We have the one who just the power of his words brings life or death instant. And he's in a human body. And he has chosen, as a plan of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he has chosen to have no reputation while he is in the human body, and he will not use his power, no matter what. He will not use his power. He will be completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit and the directions of the Heavenly Father, so that he is fair competition as a human being to win back the human race for God. That's the game. Just know that is the game plan. Here he is, able to stop anybody from pulling out his beard. Here he is able to stop anyone from saying a word against him. Here he is able. That's the key. He was able. We're not. Sometimes we are not. And he was. And he chose in this strategy of God to do this thing the way human beings would be able to do it once he went back to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? The same way Jesus overcame his vulnerability is the way we overcome our vulnerability. Through hearing the Lord or the Father. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have a Lord Jesus Christ because he was the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have a Lord who who connects us with the Father, but he also is Lord and Bridegroom, and he is God, and he is the one who communicates with us, I believe, the most. He's the one we're going to marry. I mean, how long do you keep talking to your daddy when you're going to be getting married? Time to grow up. And I love the Heavenly Father. Don't get me wrong, and they're all one, so it's not worth getting into a bunch of confusion about it. But I know this. As a grown-up, we get married, and we should have a deeper relationship with the one that we're marrying than with our parents. But that's cool to the Heavenly Father because he set it up that way. Good parents want their child to find a person to marry and be happy with and be one with. And I'm not taking away from who the Father is at all. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying it's time for the focus to be back on Jesus. Now here he is. Okay? He's gone through the garden. He knows how horrible it's going to be. Satan put every kind of fear in him he possibly could at the garden. He tempted him. He did everything to try to get him to say, no, I'm not going through this. He tried to provoke him to use his power. Jesus asked the Father, can we do this a different way? Because come on, he's God. Like, can't we just wipe the enemy out right now? Why don't we just, you know? And the Father's like, no, this is the way we have set this up from the beginning and we change not. So Jesus says, okay, and give me grace. Okay, Father, your will, not mine. And so here we are. And I want you to look at this from him being vulnerable. He's vulnerable because he's chosen to be. We're vulnerable because we're born that way. Okay? And the same way that he handles things to the place of victory is available to every one of us. And every place we did not handle it that way, we need to repent and ask God to set us free. And it will change your life. Meekness is an awesome gift. It is not. It is weak, but it's like weak and doing things the way of the devil and strong in God. It's a strength that doesn't have to go around acting like the devil. Let's go to Matthew 27, verse 2. And binding Jesus, they led him away and delivered him to Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, the one betraying him, seeing that he was condemned, repenting, returned to 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned, betraying innocent blood. So they know he's innocent. Judas is saying, I set this up, he's innocent. And they say, what is that to us? You see to it. And tossing the silver into the temple, he left, going away, he hung himself. We're not getting to all that. And taking the pieces of silver, the chief priests, anyway, they bought this field, and they called the field of blood till this day. Verse 9, then was fulfilled that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and I took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him who had been priced, on whom they, the sons of Israel, set a price, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, as the governor questioned him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, you say it. And when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. He answered nothing. Why did he answer nothing? Because the Father told him nothing to say. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they say against you? In other words, defend yourself. Defend yourself. Defend yourself. When you defend yourself because you're vulnerable, it's the enemy who is provoking you to defend yourself. Unless you ask God for wisdom, and God gives you wisdom and shows you what to say. So if you're writing notes or whatever, write down, I need to get free from where I've defended myself. You need to get free from where you've defended yourself because you had to pull a devil into it to do that. He did not answer, not even one word. The governor greatly marveled. And at a feast, the governor usually releases one prisoner to the crowd, whoever the crowd wished. So they called up Barabbas, and he was a murderer, just so you guys know. Then they, having been assembled, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you wish that I release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, being called the Christ?" Because they knew that Christ was delivered to him because of their envy. Not because he did anything wrong, but because these priests and these leaders, these religious leaders, were envy and jealous of what he was doing and how he was taken away from them. And Pilate picked that up.